The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Forget Norway, they crucified Jesus Christ. I'll never forget Norway, they sold Marcus Garvey for rice. I'll never forget Norway, they turned their backs on Paul Bogle.
Good afternoon here in sunny Bahamas once again. You know I like to talk about my sunny country. They always speak of us as having 700 islands in an archipelago that's unlike any other around the world. Tranquil waters, very clear, aquamarine. If you're a boatman like myself, it's a beautiful day. The seas are flat, and you can see from the surface of the water straight down into the coral reef. You'll see the snappers and the jacks, and you'll see the mutton snappers, and you'll have your ocean tallies and your marlins, your wahoos. I mean, we got a whole lot of fish here in the Bahamas. I think when God first decided that he was going to put fish in the seas of the world, he must have started here in the Bahamas because all the fish live here in the Bahamas. But right here, you're tuning in to the Big Fish, Guardian Radio 96.9 FM here in my beloved country. And you know, this program is Remark. I'm your host, Garth Roseborough. And listen, the last few weeks, if I can say all of the shows, I'm telling you the last few weeks, if you missed any of those shows, you must tune into the podcast on the GuardianTalkRadio.com website. You got to listen to those shows, man. They were extremely heavy, so heavy that I've continued to hear conversations all around the country about how remarkable those programs were. And while I remember, I want to give a special shout out to Rod Davis and his mom. She's listening always. I thank you for the compliments that you sent me. All the boys there on the beach in South Beach who continue to support, and those people around the Bahamas, those abroad in Atlanta, over in Poland, Africa, Caribbean. Hey, it's just a beautiful experience to have you with us. And I do hope today you'll take the time to call in to the show. Now, today, you know, I have what I call the wrecking crew. I got to call them the wrecking crew. And I went home after the last two shows, you know, Ruben. I said something was powerful about the last few shows because your last name is Ramming. Mm-hmm. And Davin's last name is Russell. Mm-hmm. And the show is Remark. Mm-hmm. And my last name is Roseborough. Mm-hmm. And all of us got R to our name. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the Bahamian people are sensitive and strange and funny people, you know. We kind of notice little small things sometimes. That's why I say, you know what? All this testosterone in this one room, I got to put a little bit of estrogen in here. Yeah. But if you can put something in it, you know what Bahamians say? Mm-hmm. You can't put just a little drop in your drink.
And real estrogen.
Yeah. You got to make it strong. One.
Real estrogen.
Real,
but natural. But natural.
Rima. So, you know, I got to come strong. I got to bring, like, remember that rat bat they used to sell down here? Oh, that Bacardi was like 140 proof or something like that?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Like, when I used to see fellas for Junkanoo, like, how we in the Junkanoo time of year. I saw a fella in his underwear on Bay Street during Junkanoo sweating. Yes. And I remember that time, everyone had on their fur coat with the fur boots. Oh. I said, Jesus, man, the rat bat got him sweating.
Yeah.
So I she didn't look like no rat bat, but she's strong like rat bat. I want to say that to you. Mm-hmm. And I had to get Peggy Candace in here today. All the way, you know, you've seen her on television, you've seen her on TikTok, you've seen her doing her little thing You know, she told me, you know, God, I'll be so honored to come on the show. So I got these fellas talking with my lips. When I tell them, they talking with your lips, you got to bring your sweet lips here to Remark here on a Sunday at 5 p.m. She said, I will gladly do so. So, gentlemen, I had to bring this beautiful lady amongst us. I have none other than your friends, Senator Reuben Ramming, and we have Davin Russell. And we'll be joined with Peggy Candace. I'm going to let her say something in a few minutes. And next week, we're going to have Senator Darren Henfield. He wanted to be here, but, you know, he's in Abaco at a funeral. But we want to send regards to him and condolences. And we look forward to having him in the studio next week with us. And if you want to call in and say hello, you know, I know you don't want to say hello to me. You don't want to say hello to Reuben or to Darwin. You want to say hello to Peggy Candace. You got to call in. The numbers are, and I'll say them very slowly for you. The numbers are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, or anywhere from our family of islands, 242-300-5720, or you can text. This is a text line only, 422-4796. Peggy Candace, give the people a beautiful hello. You and here just got the whole place lit right up. You got an affiliation with BPLA because you got plenty of power in you.
Lord have mercy. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
It's so wonderful to be here. Peggy Candace, happy Sunday to the listeners. And I'm so excited about this, God. Congratulations to you. You know, we were on talk shows before.
Yes,
and
yes.
And now to be the host of a show, you're just moving up.
Yes, yes, yes. That's what's called blessings in this country.
And greater still to come. So I'm so, this adds to my resume. I'm with you. And I expect it, so much is going on in this country, and it's going to be a fabulous conversation.
And I just loved you being on the shows with me. You know, you brought that energy. And we all need to grow. You know, we can't stunt ourselves. We can't feel as if we are all of that in a bag of chips. We just got to understand that we're just one chip in the bag.
Yes.
But like Reuben, you know, you want to be the best tasting chip if you could, you know. So what I want to do today is a whole lot going on in the country. I do not want to delay the conversation. People, please let your friends know that we're on. It's 5 o'clock. It's past 5 o'clock. We want to jump into this conversation. A lot has been going on. Last week we dealt with the loss of a very dear one, 12, 13 years of age, 12-year-old child. We've dealt with, another violent situation that took place with a young man. We've dealt with
72-year-old.
The 72-year lady. Grandmother. Still a young lady. Because in the Bahamas, you know, when you're 72, you still look good. But, you know, condolences to her family. And our prayers are with you. We just want to smile with you today because we know that you know that God is still in control.
Yes.
And so I just want to take time to give the Almighty Creator some respect. And I ask that he will bring peace to all those in the neighborhood as well as the family and those closely associated.
Yes.
We got to jump into this today. People, you got to call in today. I know you want me to give those numbers again, because when we get loose from here, you know, like when you lose the anchor from the dock, I am sure this show is going to heat up, and I know you have a lot to contribute to this conversation, so I want you to be a part of this, and I can tell you how the show is going to go. Once we release, Senator Ramming just was present at a press conference. He's not going to be that long today, but he's going to give us a little synopsis as to how he felt about that and the events that are happening throughout the day. Then I'm going to let ladies go first and let Miss Peggy go ahead and join into that conversation. And of course, Darwin, but thank God you married. These women keep telling me, "Oh, that fellow who on the show with you,
Larry White,
you and Reuben, you know." Thank God you all married, God, boy. You all good men. The two of y'all, that's why I got y'all on here. You know,
me and you sound like Pee Wee Herman. When he come on, he sound like a mixture of
Isaac Hayes and Barry White.
Yeah, man,
don't get me in trouble on the radio.
Let me get those numbers out quickly. 323-6232, 325-4316. 325-4259, anywhere from the family of violence, 300-5720, or you can text at 422-4796. Reuben Ramming, tell us about the week events. I know we're still considering what happened last week and pondering, and we're still saddened by much of the information from last week. And then this week, I mean, I got calls from all over the United States telling me how we're in USA Today and the news that is coming forward. You are a polished former MP in this country, but you're still a politician. You're a man of God. You're a family man. You're a father. You're an adventurer. You are the man's man, as it were. But tell us what's in your head at this time in terms of everything that is happening and now to end with this.
What's on my in my head right now is Eli and Braden. Braden just turned 5, and Eli is his younger brother, and they are home waiting for me. They want to spend time with Grandpa.
Okay.
So I
make it quick. Make
this,
it quick.
Including being the president of Candice, Candace, because I love children. You don't disappoint children. And when you can instill love and respect in children, guess what? That's a stronger punishment than a belt. They don't want to disappoint Grampy. And so I'm going to speed up there and so I can spend as many, much time before their bedtime so they could know that they had time with me. And you're right. We had a very effective press conference. I want to encourage people to actually go to the Free National Movement head site, website and listen to that in his details. I know for a fact listening to it that it really speaks to the heart of the Bahamian people. It makes a statement to the world that there is an opposition in waiting who have the right focus of governance to bring back transparency, law, and order, and who has a grasp of the current situation, which is a repeat from the former Nation for Sale under the same Progressive Liberal Party, in which Brave has been true through all that, our Prime Minister Brave Davis has been true consistently. I want to say to our people, we need to understand that elections is a very, very serious thing. It's choices. It's not about spite. It's not about anything. You must search every single candidate as if you're marrying them.
You should. You should.
All right? And you need to understand that all those little things that you say you're going to ignore, if he's a wife beater, you can say, okay, no, don't worry about that. But he's a good lawyer. If him as a lawyer is focused so much on the criminal elements and his character leans towards that, if he's someone who loves children, or she loves children, or he or she is someone who loves sports. Why is all this important? Because people, when they're given authority, create an environment conducive to their propensity. But you see, we went looking for a new day and not realizing that that new day actually was the same old way. And when you look at the Shakers, and I was always hopeful that just as when the children of Israel left Egypt and they were moving toward Canaan land and they rejected going into Canaan land, then they had to die out. I was hoping that sufficient of that last year of Selinda Pinden when he lost his way would have banished out of the PLP and we could have had a new crop. But instead, right now, even this new crop that is in have now even been tarnished by the old crop who is bringing back that same old way. And where we are right now, honestly, and this is not emotional, this is not even political, this is a simple fact.
You do sound a bit
this
strong.
This is a simple fact. They need to be relegated long enough for all of that poison to die out of their system in their propensities. Everybody have problems, you know, but there are worse problems. You understand? And you're to the point right now that our credibility, a good name is better than riches.
Yes, the Bible.
When you have crime, that hurts your money. So if you're looking for money and tourists to come, fix the crime.
Yeah.
If you want people to come here and feel comfortable, watch the corruption and the stories about us that drive people away from us. And we must realize when these things go, their history that I watch Netflix. Their recent movies still talking about the drug age in the Bahamas.
Netflix?
Netflix.
Right now?
Netflix right now. This the woman drug dealer, was she named? I don't know if y'all saw it. And go into the Bahamas. And that's still here. That culture is still here. And we're here right now at this point in time. Watch that press conference with Michael Pintard. It's going to blow you away. And judge him. Why? Because he's the leader that will lead the movement in that. So you need to hear what he's saying. And I'm going to dissect it a bit later on. But I'm going to show you something quickly, God, if I may. You know, in the spirit of my right, I jump in Guardian, sitting right here on the table. There's the Friday newspaper from the Guardian with Saz saying Monroe says indictments will likely impact trust between Outback and partners. Listen, this man too intelligent to be so darn ignorant.
Will likely, what did he say?
The headline right here, Monroe says indictment will likely impact trust between Outback.
Oh, Outback, the...
Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Partners, yeah.
And partners. Brother, my God, you're the Minister of National Security, and you don't realize that these people been investigating you for 3+ years. Yeah, you, because you was minister a long that time. And everybody under you didn't even trust you enough to tell you.
That's something.
That, listen here, there's corruption in the under you, in your police force, the defense force, and in the government. And they did it independently. And now when the information come out, you saying the indictment will likely impact the trust. Likely? But they done been not trusting you. Yes. And I want to say this quickly,
Quickly. Go ahead.
Yeah, I got it. Listen here.
Uh-huh.
There's no excuse. From the prime minister straight down. All right? Even before you get elected, you say these people you're going to put in power. When you come in power, you did it. You appoint these people. All right? And here it is now, even down to the... You going to take the Bahamas law enforcement flag-carrying plane, for God's sake. You abuse our diplomatic privilege that is extended to every country. Now there's right reason to ignore it. When our military boats go into foreign country, they give them the respect and courtesy. They don't search them like they search a fishing boat or every other boat, because that's the courtesy. When the U.S. Marine boats come into here, we greet them as friends, and we don't go searching their boats and logging their guns and all that stuff, because why? They are law enforcement. When our police plane, unlike Bahamas Air fly over there, it is subject to every other search that is required by the TSA and everything else. When our military plane, our police plane, and flying the flag of the Bahamas goes somewhere, it is respected like a Bohemian diplomat, for God's sake. Our plane and our ships have diplomatic immunity, and it has been stripped. That is international law.
This is...
And they would never search a police plane. But they realize you cannot trust the most sacred things in our country. I can't go this run. I am hurt because of our Marines and our officers who had a dream as children to be police officers. Some of them still high ranking too, they still have that policeman dream, even though they hide some of them. And right now when they walk around their uniform, they feel shame, not shame for the uniform, but shame of how people, when they see the uniform now, they don't see that respect and that they're being dunked into the mud by a few people. And I want to say to them, you still take pride, because we need a defense force. We need a police force. And you good guys, lift up your head. Lift up your head.
I want to get to that.
And point out those persons who are sullying.
That's right.
Who are sullying your good reputation, because some of you will be the future commissioners and high-ranking officers. Our prime minister needs to know, that plane couldn't fly out here without the signature of the police commissioner or the Commodore Defense Force. And the plane couldn't move without the blessing of the Minister of National Security. And it goes right up even to the Prime Minister. And now everybody's sitting there saying, wondering, we need some serious, serious questions. And we need an inquiry, and not the one like my respected Hubert Alex Zander Ingram did, where it was reported it was good enough to embarrass them. People need to be jailed.
Well, the investigation is going on. Very strong words from Senator Reuben Ramey. Everyone knows him to be a no-nonsense person. Yeah. His tolerance for these types of situations is very, very low, because, Reuben gets passionate. Peggy Kenneth, I got to put a little bit of estrogen in there, because that's plenty of testosterone.
I was...
You got to go?
I got to go to my...
It was nice. It was nice.
Could you hold that again to my car so I can hear you, please? I'm a fan of yours. All right, I'm going to try and throw my phone in on the screen.
Go ahead.
I was at the same press conference.
Okay.
You were?
At the FNM headquarters on Mackey Street. And one of the points that the leader of the opposition, the leader of the Free National Movement, Mr. Michael Pintard, made is similar to that what Mr. Rubens was just saying. They are majority good police officers. They are majority good defense force officers. And I will always be a Marine. Woman entry 3.
Yeah, you were a Marine.
Yes,
oh, look at that.
Woman entry 3. So defense force is near and dear to me.
Uh-huh.
And so when I, what Mr. Pinta was saying, the reputation of these good men and women who have nothing to do
with her.
They have no criminal element, no criminal bone, but now they are a part of organizations that have been tainted, whose reputation is messed right up because of decision and action of a few. And so we don't want, there was a post on Facebook on Friday. They had a traffic, like stopping the traffic. Mm-hmm. And you know what the post say? Traffic block on such and such road. Watch out for those coke boys. Mm. That's the policeman. And it was meant to be funny and jest. But they say, watch out for those coke boys. Now, an officer on that traffic stop could have been safe, sanctified, never run a red light, abide the law. But now he's being grouped together as those coke boys. The police force has already been in so much over these years, and many prophets has spoken that there's going to be judgment in the police force and expulsion. We have lived through that 2025. And so the reputational risk, which is the greatest risk an individual or organization could experience or be exposed to, your reputation, like the Bible says, your name is worth any jewel, any diamond, any gold, and for your name to be tarnished, for the name of the organization that you work with and for and dedicate your life to be tarnished, and you be grouped up, and people now look at you as a possible drug trader or a possible gun runner, it's not a good thing. Mm. And so we need to, hopefully that all the bad apples, the prime minister talk about shaking the tree, how ironic. Mm. When this tree is shaken and these bad apples falls to the ground, don't cover up. How about that?
Don't cover up.
Don't cover them up. Don't cloak them like the people on that.
Why do you think we do that so often
it's
in this
country?
It's
not we, it's them. We taking responsibility for their bad decisions. As leaders, we have seen too often that there are allegations, there are rumors, and from this administration, one allegation after the other is explained away. Hmm. Even the commissioner of police explained it away. Oh, we're investigating. We soon get the result. Playing word games with us. Losing all the respect that people had for him.
So you're saying that the Bahamian people at this time feel insulted somewhat?
You can't imagine. My mom, my aunts, they're in their 70s.
Okay.
Yesterday, Friday, my mom kiko, he say anything yet? He called the name yet? Pigs, this so bad.
What?
Pigs, this so bad. This our country. Pigs, you hear what they gonna be saying about our country? We back here. My mom, 74. My auntie, my God, this is a disgrace. Look at the Bahamas again. The senior members of our country are angry by this. Yes, some of us younger ones are, but the senior members who have lived through the disgrace of our countries in the early, who were young in the 70s and 80s, who saw the recovery of our reputation in the 90s, to be back in this place where I'm seeing the reminders of a nation for sale, the comparison of then and now, and that the grounds that we had covered in between, we've losing them. I was sent a video by a gentleman, and the claims in the video are so exaggerated that I couldn't finish it. But they're talking about my beloved Bahamas, how the crime is. You get killed on the street. Like if you walk on the street, your chances of you getting corrupt. And even though it's based on things that we are living now, they're so exaggerated that I felt ashamed. Mm. I was angry because I told him, I said, it's a lie. He said, but this is what is being said. So now, this is what my mommy concerned. I said, Pegs, you know, when we go away now as Bahamians, they can be looking at us different.
Mm. Let me see what this caller has to say in response to you and Ruben. Caller, go ahead. Caller, go ahead. We can hear you.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to the guest.
Yes.
Listen, I'm hearing the lady talk about what is happening in our country, and I want you to appreciate that she's not making this up. I think the sentiment that she's expressing is universal to most Bahamians at this present time. Now, what that means is that it didn't happen overnight. I think it's been a gradual slide from grace that our uniformed forces, both police force and defense force is responsible for how we feel. Let me remind the public, we still don't have a certainty that the matter involving the BDF individuals who happen to find themselves on government house grounds and fatally wounding one another.
Mm-hmm.
We never got a sensible explanation how that even occurred. Then you follow that up with the instances of alleged sexual assault by police officers. Then you follow that up by a tape espousing some plot to harm an individual, and that individual being placed on garden leave, and he's planted a forest, I imagine, because I haven't heard anything since he's been on the garden leave. And now, this other matter involving members, alleged members of the police force involved in drugs and ammunition. Again, all of this has caused the sentiment of which your guest has expressed to be the true sentiment of most right-thinking Bahamians. Now, while I laid that at the feet and on the chest of everyone, I want to say that it doesn't have to end this way.
No, sir.
I believe that the commissioner has an opportunity to regain our confidence, but I believe that it requires some persons being removed from their job. That's the only way we feel confident, because if you do something to me and you're in the uniform, how do you expect me to trust another uniformed person again? Unless I see that there's some kind of remedy that could come from you doing the wrong thing, and your boss comes and says, that's not our standard, I have to remove you, and that sets the record straight.
Thank you for that call, man. That's powerful. Darwin Russell, do you want to respond to that?
Good evening, Bahamas. Good evening, Garth. Good evening, Peggy. You know, I'm always struck. You know, I used to tell my staff that one of the things that you have to bear in mind with a conspiracy is it only works when you have co-conspirators. Right?
I don't mean to laugh. It's a serious situation, but that's a great observation.
It only works when you have co-conspirators. See, the corruption in our country only festers because Peggy is eating at the trough, Garth is eating at the trough, Darwin is eating at the trough. And because of the positions that we hold, we are a cancer to the rest of the apple. So in order for us to fix the rest of the apple, what do you do to the cancer? You have to carve it out. We have a problem in this country of carving cancers out.
Yes.
So when you don't hold these people accountable, you know, I was listening and reading on Facebook, to tell you the level of anger that Peggy is mentioning tonight and how it's so palpable. The person said, it was an announcement of the commissioner's national address tonight at 7:30. And the caption read, if you're not talking to us about who the MP is,
I saw that.
Is he getting locked up, who the person is at CID, when they getting locked up, if you're not telling us these things, we have no interest in listening to what you have to say. So if the prime minister doesn't realize that he's already lost this conversation, he has already lost the narrative surrounding this. The internet has been a beautiful thing for our ability as average citizens to take the veil off of the filth that sometimes permeates in this country. You can't hide it no more. You can't go in your little enclaves and talk in secret and bribe and cajole and to be a conspirators, and none of us good people know what you're doing, because it leaks. Everybody got family. Everybody got friends. Your police friend is my police enemy. So we can find out. You can't keep these secrets anymore. And that's what the old guard relied on, that these secrets stayed hidden. See, you can't hide them anymore. And I said, and I think it was actually Peggy who posted it, and I posted under her post or commented on her post about the fact that it should tell us everything we need to know about how we are viewed internationally when the prime minister himself is caught off guard by such a significant investigation, indictment, arrest of senior police and defense force officers, present and past, and the U.S. doesn't even have the decency to call you or the Minister of National Security and say, look, this is about to go down. We wanted to give you a heads up. And you know why I know they didn't call? Because you would have handled that completely different had you known it was the case.
But you know.
And that is the way you deduce that.
That's what Darwin sees from the way this is handled. Because let me tell you, from your public relations background, this is what I would have said, right? If Garth, being the president of the United States, being the head of the FBI, being the regional director of the FBI and responsible for this investigation, he makes a call to the ambassador that charged the affairs in the Bahamas, to Fred Mitchell, say, look here, give Prime Minister Davis a heads up, please. This is about to happen. If he knew, this is his address in Parliament. Ladies and gentlemen, citizens of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, I know you all have been seeing all of the reporting done online and in the public press. Let me first say to you, I and my office have been fully aware of this investigation. It was an ongoing investigation that I had given the United States permission to either conduct, operate within the Bahamas. I was a full support of it. Me and the Commissioner of Police were appraised on a regular basis as to the status. And I said to them, because of the sensitivity of the matter, I would not bring this before the people until your investigation was resolved. And I got a call this morning, yada, yada, before the arrests were made. So I am now letting you know that we are in full support of this, and we're going to continue on our efforts to remove every bad apple from the police, the defense force, wherever they may be found. We will not leave any stone unturned. Just finish. End. Done. Done.
But the evidence that the U.S. authorities did not trust our authorities.
Thank you.
The evidence is that they didn't know.
Okay.
The evidence is that our prime minister says he's going to ask the minister of foreign affairs to write a note. So you all was out of the loop.
Completely.
Why did the U.S. authorities make a decision to keep you out of the loop? Because WWW is not only in the Bahamas. There's no separate WWW. It's, it's World Wide Web. And so America and foreigners are watching the way we deal with situation. The way we make excuses, the way that we don't feel a need to be transparent or accountable to the people who hire you. And I always use the term hired because we hired them to do a job. We hire them to protect our interests, to make sure that our country is managed in our best interest. And then that trust has been broken. I think it was Thursday or Friday I said, the Bahamian people need to give a new mandate. This contract between our this administration and Bahamian people, I feel it's been broken. I feel it's been broken. I think a lot of Bahamians agree with me that they would like now to decide, do you continue managing our country or do we find another? And that's where we are.
Absolutely. So you're using the word manage. I want to get into that. That in itself is a conversation, management versus leadership. If you do have a caller, go ahead. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, good afternoon. How are y'all doing?
Good afternoon.
I'm doing well. Thank you for joining us today.
Yes, sir, indeed. Good afternoon, Peggy.
Hope all is well. Hi, Anton. All is well.
You know, I feel embarrassed as if, I'm not even on the police force, but I feel embarrassed as a Bahamian citizen. And it feels like I did something wrong.
I feel you.
And I didn't do anything.
No.
You didn't do anything.
That's the state of affairs that we find ourselves in. The other thing is that the government of the U.S. did not inform our government. Is there a reason why? Is there a lack of trust? Is it that they have more information that they feel as if they don't have the right to tell them because they don't trust them? When you look at the FTX situation, you look at the Ismailian scandal situation and all these other situations where they're saying government, corrupt government officials, and that has always been the theme in terms of the communication, right?
Yes.
What is that saying towards us as a people? And keep in mind, these people represent us. So when they travel internationally, they go here and there, they're looking at us. They're carrying the banner of the Bahamian flag, and as a result, they're looking at us. As stated in the show, when you travel now to the States, how are people looking at you? Oh, there goes those drug dealers. Oh, they're very bad people. These types of scenarios. We have to restore the level of
dignity, integrity.
you know, of the transparency and everything that this country is known for. And we have to go back to the level that we once were. We cannot stay on this level that we are on now and be labeled as corrupt individuals and the corrupt people, because certainly not all of us are corrupt. And that's we need to be able to as a people, those of us who, like I think the good gentleman mentioned earlier, when you participate in this garbage of corruption, you are contributing to the problem. So that's not just only blame the politicians, the police officers, but blame the ordinary citizen who participate in this also, so much so that we can change our country for the better and make the Bahamas better than it once was.
Yes.
I appreciate your call.
Thanks a lot, man.
Yeah, man, no problem. Appreciate your call. You know, before we take a break in a minute, I just, when you say that word management, it just resonates with me only because I was with you, Peggy Candace, on another platform, another show. Mm-hmm. And if you could recall, the election had just passed in 2021. And we were privileged to sit in the same space as when I first met you. And everyone was looking at me as if I was probably losing my mind. I'll tell you what got me a bit, I don't want to use the word irritated, that may be too strong, but I felt a bit sensitive at the time because, you know, we had just been through Dorian, we've been through COVID, and then we had the snap election, as it were, as if we had an early election. Mm-hmm. And I don't think any one political party was truly ready for an election at that particular time. No matter how bad it was, we were all just trying to find ourselves. We were trying to pay our mortgages. We were trying to pay rent. We were trying to pay light bill, water bill, other utilities. Mm-hmm. People were losing their children from private schools, going back into public schools to find out that there was no space in the public schools. We had people going into the pine forest and chopping down all the trees in the well fields that they're trying to build house. Mm-hmm. We were screaming to mash up the shanty towns. I mean, it was just chaos everywhere. And the first thing that this administration did was traveled. And I was like, what the hell? Yeah. They went to Bermuda on a private chartered flight, if you remember. Mm-hmm. It was incorrectly done. And then we found out that we were the ones who were supposed to pay for this trip. Mm-hmm. And then they had to go back to the Treasury and say, well, here's a check. Are we going to pay the Bahamian people back? Well, how the heck you got them? See, I still feeling a little bit of this, you know. Yeah. How the heck you figured you could go there anyhow?
Yeah.
And then next thing we knew, you and everyone else was going to Dubai.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we said, what the world? I mean, people still trying to find, trying to find food.
Yeah.
And they went to Dubai and they were showing the nice luxurious rooms and how they were living so well. And I'm like, okay, everyone deserves a break. So maybe God smiled on you, the creator smiled on you, you know, Elohim or Buddha or whatever God you serve smiled on you. So you got to go to Dubai. Good for you. Now that you've gone to Dubai, you come back here. Are you prepared to work? Next thing I know, you're talking about climate change and you're traveling all over the place and then you're feeding the gorillas and you didn't even bring us back one peanut. Mm-hmm. See, these type of things kind of get you a little agitated because, like I said, even today, in December of 2024, many of us, believe it or not, in this developing country, this is not a first world country. Mm-hmm. We don't manufacture anything here. Many of us here are still trying to find our way back to where we were before and only to be informed by a very beloved university, University of the Bahamas, that it takes $10,200 for a average middle-class family to survive.
Yeah, a month.
A month. $10,200 a month to live in the Bahamas as a middle-class family. And you still travel, and then you come back, and then you say, you know what? I didn't know this corruption was happening. What do you mean you don't know? You can't know if you're not here. If you're traveling all over the world, daddy gone from home, how you gonna know when the sweetheart reach? How you gonna know when the man who's a pedophile come and fool with your children? How you gonna know if the teacher giving the children schoolwork or homework or doing the job? How you gonna know if the BPL on or off or the water's on or off or if the food your children got only expired dates on the food so they eating a food that's no good or they only stuck on ramen? I mean, am I talking too much? Because when I talk about government, when I talk about leadership, leadership has to be present.
Yeah.
Even if you in Alaska in an igloo, someone here has to say, you know what? Boy, I cannot afford to conduct myself in this manner because if the prime minister in that igloo in Alaska find out, I know I finished.
Yeah, but
there's
fair.
No fair.
It got to be something.
There was no fair.
But there is a type of fair. And the gentleman caller who said that ordinary Bahamians have to take responsibility. Mm-hmm. I understand and appreciate you saying. There's a fear, there's intimidation, there's a fear of victimization. And so people who are employed to protect assets, to make decisions, to advise the government, and I'll give you an example. Remember, some money was released from the central bank.
Mm-hmm. Man, I wanted to touch up, but that's so sensitive.
No, they ain't sensitive. Some money was released to the government by the Central Bank of the Bahamas, mm-hmm. approved when it was against the law. And they ran in the House of Assembly and retroact the law. The job of the central bank governor was to say no. People are afraid to say no, and they're allowing this administration to make piss-poor decisions because they're afraid to say no. And these decisions are mainly concerning our finances. And so instead of saying no, sir, that is not a good idea. No, sir, the law doesn't allow us to do this thing. They go along because, oh, you know, they might just do this. Oh, you know, but your job and the capacity that you hold is to protect this country, to protect our finances,
yes.
to protect our assets. And saying no is a form of protection. And saying no is a form of saying, respect me in the office that I hold this. I'm here for a specific purpose. And because we have people who are operating in a different level of fear, a negative force, who are afraid to take the position to say, this is a bad idea. And sometimes you wonder, say, who advising these people?
Remember they say, we're serving at the pleasure of the prime minister.
Yeah.
Listen, you got to join in this conversation today. 323-6232. 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere from the Family of Violence, 300-5720, or give us a text at 422-4796. We're going to take a little quick break here in a few minutes just to catch our breath a little bit, to allow you to get on the telephones and give us a call, give us a text. And then we're going to let Darwin Russell chime in on what Peggy Candace just said. It's a beautiful Sunday here in the Bahamas, and we got so much troubling news here. We just got to get through it.
Do you have uncontrollable debt? Are you ready to make that move to Fidelity for a stress-free future? These loans have a built-in savings plan that pays you unbeatable interest. Ask about our debt consolidation loans today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
One in every four Bahamians face some level of food insecurity. AML Foods remains committed to helping. And this year, through our Feed 5000 program, we'll donate $30,000 to provide holiday meals to families in need. But we need your help. From November 4th to December 18th, show your support and donate at the register at Solomon's, Costrite, Fresh Market, Exuma Markets, or Domino's Pizza in Nassau, Grand Bahama, or Exuma. Together, let's put an end to hunger.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there'll be no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers. For window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
all those loans I had were so overwhelming. Fidelity's debt consolidation loan combined all my loan payments into one easy payment with a built-in savings plan that pays me unbeatable interest. It's time to make that move to Fidelity. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
All right, folks, we are back. This is Remark. This is Garth Roseborough, your host. I still have here in the studio with me Miss Peggy Candace, that beautiful lady that you're seeing on TV night after night. She said, Garth, man, I got to be a part of this. And I'm so privileged to have her with me. She is my sister, you know. When I first met her, I gave her a call on Facebook. I didn't have a phone number, you know. I didn't ask for a phone number because, you know, people think funny. People think, you know, you're trying to make one little play. So I said, let me call her on Facebook. And she said, how can I help you? And I was like, well, you know, I ain't calling but that. I call him to say I'm proud of you, and I appreciate you being a strong female Bahamian woman who's standing up for the country. And I just called to say, hey, you got my support, and I'm wishing you well. And she said, oh, that's so noble of you. And it took maybe a few weeks for us to really warm up together, because you got to be a little suspicious of you Bahamian men. Some of you all just too fresh. You know, it's a fresh country, you know. And a lot of corruption that we actually have in the country is because of Sweetheart and you. I want you to believe this. You got to pay them bills. Sweetheart and you ain't cheap. And so when you talk about a middle-class family having to earn $10,200 per month, yeah, that ain't even the Sweetheart and yet.
No.
So when you hear these fellas, them who got to do this drug thing and they got to take a couple of dollars and put it in their pocket and misappropriate funds, you hear rumors of people who got to buy condo, a whole condominium for the Sweetheart. And then the problem with Sweetheart is that Sweetheart don't even want to live in Coconut Grove. You know, you don't mind getting a little shack with a $50, $60 on the shack. You can afford that per month. These people live out west. They want to live as close to Nygaard Key as possible. These people them don't want to drive no little Nissan Note, no little Cube, no little Paso.
What?
These people, man, listen, you better try hard. Bring me one S-Class 550 or bring me one of them G-Wagon. I know them type of cars. Mm-hmm. Or bring me one Maserati.
Yeah.
These things, but you only speak in church when you speak in tongues, say, Maserati. You know, Maserati. You know, you got to get that Daryl Miller voice. Maserati. You know? So maybe corruption got a lot to do with the fact that we too fresh.
Fresh.
And listen, these women, listen, let me tell the world this while you're listening. Bahamian women is the finest women in the world. Listen to me, man. These women know how to put it on you. And so you men got to stop. You got to find the creator.
Yeah.
And have a connection with the creator and understand that everything ain't flesh and blood. You got to deal with some spiritual, you know, depth and heights and widths and shun principalities, because when a demon gets you, you wake up at your house, 2 o'clock in the morning, your wife's sleeping, you got to sneak out the house to go see the sweetheart to drop something off. Come on, man. Let's fix this country. Darwin Russell, we talk about management, and you are a man who have managed many companies. Please give the people a definition of management, whether good or bad, and then give us a definition of leadership, because what I'm hearing on the streets is that this country now lacks political leadership.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm hearing in the country. Go ahead, Darwin Russell.
For me, Garth, obviously, when you hear the term management, I think it's an administration of resources, right? I think a leader understands that those limited resources have to be used as creatively as possible, and he or she marshals a team to execute on that task. So for me, the organizations that I've had the privilege of leading, it's funny that you mentioned this today. I saw one of my former staff members today, and we had such a great conversation, and we were talking about this very same thing. And you just know when you've sat under good leaders, the organization's function, they work. And I was echoing to her, being in the Bahamas, living in the Bahamas, born and raised in the Bahamas, how so few of our departments, ministries, we can say are managed or led effectively. And the Bible says, by your fruits you shall know them. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So if you were to encounter, as we do so often in our daily lives, it feels as though Bahamians interact with our government way more than the average citizen has to interact with their government in other countries. You know, it's so this conversation is so palpable to the average Bahamian. We're always getting a police record. We're always getting a passport. We're always getting a driver's license. We're always going to a government ministry for a permit, a business license. We're going to the VAT office, the property tax office.
Yes, yes.
We're going to get an inspection of some sort.
Yes.
We're traveling in and out of the country to deal with customs or immigration.
Yes.
So we're touching so many organs of government. Our sick and loved ones are in the hospital at PMH. Yes. We have to touch so much of the organs of government. So we have a visceral idea of when it's working and when it's not.
My God. Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to say to a Bahamian, you know, things going good, things are working. You know, I think it was the South Korean leader who said, whenever he visits a foreign country, this is at the height of his popularity globally, he said he goes and he examines only one item to see whether the country functions. He says he goes and asks to be taken to a public restroom.
Yes.
A public restroom.
A public
restroom. The cleanliness. Yes. And
that's
the barometer, right?
Yes, yes.
And he said, invariably, any country that I've visited, that they cannot maintain proper public restroom facilities. Look at this now.
Oh, mercy.
I know those countries aren't functioning. I don't have to finish that statement because every Bahamian knows where I'm going. You go to them along the beachfront. You go to along them in any government ministry that they have public restrooms available to the general public. What isn't broken? Toilet paper or hand towel unavailable if they're
sanitizer
untidy, unkempt.
Or whatever. Mm-hmm.
So we know this.
The standard.
Right? We know that the standard is not met. Not a global standard. We know when we travel and we walk into public restroom facilities in the United States, they work.
Mm-hmm.
And the water comes out, the blow dryer thing always working. Mm-hmm. There's always an abundance of toilet paper or hand towels
and
for
staff.
You to wash your hands.
And them fellas in them airports in America, they always smiling.
Well,
they're
on their game.
But they're smiling and they're waking
in the
bathroom.
They're on their game.
Yeah, yeah.
So I say that to say, look, in order for us to get back to that standard, my boss at DHL used to say there's nothing basic about the basics.
Mm.
I'm going to say that again. There's nothing basic about the basics.
Oh, yeah. It takes a lot.
We perfect the basics, then we can go to next level. But this is what we do in this country. If the building is broke, we build a new one.
That's right.
Only to break it 10 years later.
Or lease it from a friend.
Okay. Mm-hmm. When the stadium is broke, mm-hmm. you get it for free.
Yeah.
But it's broke again,
mm-hmm.
we go and
look for someone else to build another one.
Okay. So we'll go build another one.
My Lord.
And another one. So Dr. Darvall, no offense to the new hospital, the cesspool that exists, it's broken.
It's still broken.
Okay?
Yeah.
And it won't be fixed.
Never.
Because your attention now is on the new shiny thing.
But you know the new shiny thing, God. One second.
No, go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Because I spoke with my neighbor about the new shiny thing.
Mm-hmm.
The new shiny thing is not for general public.
Mm-hmm. No.
As a woman, I'm offended.
Mm-hmm.
The new shiny thing is for women and children
mm-hmm.
specialty.
Mm-hmm.
What about our men?
Mm-hmm.
No, they don't really care about us.
Mm-hmm. So the men will stay in the thing that is mm-hmm. not new mm-hmm. and shiny.
Mm-hmm.
I have a problem mm-hmm. with that. New shiny thing should be for Bahamians. Mm-hmm.
So we lost a lot of men through just murder and violence. We about 115 men gone this year.
Yeah, but diabetes. You see how much men are without legs?
Diabetes.
High blood pressure. They specialty.
Erectile dysfunction.
Mm-hmm. All of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And how can we sit comfortably as a woman? And I ain't impressed by no woman and children. Because these women and children have a man somewhere in their life that need the same medical attention. And so that is my problem with the new shiny thing. We cannot separate our men and our women's health.
Well,
and think it's okay because you're saying it's for the women and children.
But there's two things that we can chime in on quickly. The texter says, bro, the 10,000 is just to survive.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't even to live a fruitful life. Mm-hmm. Then he follows and says, I will say something unpopular as well. We expect to pay MPs $28,000 a year
mm-hmm.
and expect the world out of them. Y'all want to chime in any of that? Because I want to rip that apart.
28,000 is just base salary. We ain't talking about the other little side gigs they have when it comes to chairman of board, when it comes to cabinet ministers, when it comes to PS. The 28 is just a base salary. That ain't only, I'm walking away with 28, but you chairman of this, and you on the board for this, and you on the committee for this, and you as
parliamentary
PS
secretary
for, PS
and so forth.
For this.
Yeah.
So don't come with the 28.
Well, Texter.
And if 28,000 is not what you want, do not run. Because you taking a little bit, you're tipping yourself, you have different privileges of your car and gas, and you only get no low class cars. So don't come with that 28. Don't put that pressure on the people. Because you have some Bahamians living, making a dollar out of 50 cents when it comes to minimum wage. And you celebrating that minimum wage is $50 more.
But
don't act like that's the only 28,000 is all that they make.
What was the second text?
That was the one with the 28,000. The other one said, bro, 10,000 is just to survive. It isn't even a fruitful life. 323-6232. 325-4316, 325-4259. Anywhere from the family of violence, 300-5720 or text at 422-4796. Listen, 10,000 is just to survive. So let me get back to the conversation, understanding the 10,000, understanding MP only makes 28,000. Mm-hmm. We're talking about what has happened during the course of this week in terms of extracurricular activities that have reflected negatively on our nation. So when the Bahamas raises its flag at the next Olympic Games, when the Bahamas raises its flag in the CARICOM events, when the Bahamas raises its flag and say, you know what, we boast of sun, sand, and sea as a tourism destination, people say, oh, that's where they have them guns and they got drugs and they're killing people in the streets, as was earlier said.
Yes.
Now, I used to sell timeshare. People who may not know that. I was a top-notch timeshare salesman. And I was shocked one day I was walking through the Marina Village and a tourist walks up to me, doesn't know me, and he says to me, hey, my brother. I said, hey, how you doing? He said, where can I get that stuff? I said, what stuff are you talking about? He said, the white stuff. I said, me and my girl, we need some of that. And I'm like, white stuff? Yeah, I need that good stuff.
Yeah.
So I said, sir, you know, and me right away, Bahamas are naturally helpful. And I'm thinking to myself, you could be DEA or something trying to trap me. I said, boss, I don't know nothing about that, I've never dealt with that in my life. But to make matters worse, I've seen people go and get the stuff for these people in this country.
Yeah.
This is the type of reputation we have, that you can come here, you can get the best weed, you can get the best coke, you can get the best of anything. What type of country are you running, Darvin Russell?
All I'll say is I will answer that the way my colleague at Bahama So said. When a tourist asked him where to get the white stuff, he took him to a prescription parlor and bought him some powder.
Yeah, that's the white stuff.
That's the only white stuff that he knew about. So that's how you have to handle those kinds of situations. But let me go back to the point that you raised about the $10,000 and Peggy's comments on the $28,000 for the members of parliament. Look, we have to face a couple of realities. First of all, when I saw the survey for $10,000, I knew it had to be statistically and fundamentally flawed. And so I went down the rabbit hole to find out where the data they were gathering it from, because that is an astronomical amount of money. And it's so beyond the pale of reasonableness that I know that something had to be amiss. So when you look at the actual data that they use to substantiate that amount, it is people who live on the east and the western fronts of the Bahamas. That's not the average Bahamian's life experience.
No, okay? they said middle class.
So most studies, when you do these empirical studies, and you know my background, Garth, so I don't need to espouse
economics.
And talk about my resume. But most of the people, when you see stuff like that, you take the face value. That $10,000, it's shocking, right? So you just take it for what it says. But you have to dig a little deeper, because it caused a lot of consternation and conversation in the country. So let me amplify some things. If you're earning $10,000 as a family in the Commonwealth of Bahamas, you are decidedly upper middle class. Okay? You represent 10% or less of this country's population. Ain't nothing about you middle class. Your kids are in the best private schools. you eat the best, you stay in the nicest neighbourhoods, you have one of the nicest sets of houses.
But would you have all of those amenities?
You would have all of those amenities.
Life insurance, health insurance.
You would have all of those.
A car note, mortgage.
You would have all of those.
You can travel every so often.
You would have all of those amenities.
For 10,000.
Yes. So unless you have a child that is in, or two children, I think was what the survey said. It was a family of four, husband and wife and two children. Unless both of your children go to Life at Key or to St. Andrews, you also want to live behind the gate, any one of these gates, the Venice Bays, the Palm Keys, the Balmorals. Unless you want to do that, unless you want to drive that S500 and the wife is driving the Mercedes GL, unless you want to do all of those things. And if we believe that that's what middle class is, to be middle class, in any country, we're delusional. That's not middle class. That's not what middle class is. Middle class says, I live in an average, listen to the word, middle. I live in the average house.
What's the average house?
The average house in the United States, for example, is $350,000.
What's the average house in New Providence?
Let's say that I argue that it's that same amount of $400,000, right?
The average house in the Bahamas.
I do not believe it's that high.
I'd say right? It's about
because $400,000.
I'd say $250,000.
That's what I would say, yeah, right? $250. Okay. So $250,000 gets you in Golden Gates, Golden Isles,
South
some
Beach.
Parts, of, right? Yeah. The middle class. Mm-hmm. Of New Providence,
okay,
right? It certainly gets you middle class in Grand Bahama, right?
Oh, man, you
rock middle, okay? Yeah, yeah, you royalty,
rocking,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, you rock. So if you say my house is $250,000, your mortgage is about $2,000. You add your insurance, you add your VAT. I'm sorry, you add your insurance, you add your property taxes to that. Let's say you add even another $1,000. At max, you are $3,000 in mortgages. It does not take you an additional $7,000 a month for grocery. Light, health, life insurance, and all other bills. And still, you can still go on vacation. You can still enjoy some of the finer things in life. So I want my former colleagues at the University of the Bahamas to redo that study or redesign that study, rename that study, because I think that they made a scholastic error in how they chose to state those things with that. That needs to be correct.
If you want to challenge Darwin's theory, Peggy, if you want to challenge that theory, you can.
That being said.
But what I would want to say to you, though, mm-hmm. is that be careful. I'm your friend, but I'm setting you up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just setting you up. I just want you to know I'm setting you up. I'm very mischievous. I'll tell you, and because you're my friend, I'm going to let it out the bag early. Let me tell you why I'm setting you up.
Mm-hmm.
The news of this week is that of corruptive practices.
That's correct.
10,200 is what they said we need to survive as an average family. That's what they said.
Yes, sir.
Okay. The member of parliament is going to make only $28,000 a year base salary, plus whatever other assignments that they give him or perks they're going to give them, right?
Yes.
So it seems to me that when you talk about a high-ranking police officer, a high-ranking defense force officer,
who's making more than that,
you're making much more than the constable or the new recruit.
Oh yes, right, sure.
Am I with me so far?
I'm on your same street.
So how is it that a new recruit or constable is a civil servant? Now, are we going to count the civil servant as middle class, or are we going to count the civil servant that's just been recruited as a person that's impoverished? When you start as a salary. Defense force, police force.
Yes.
You're making enough money to call yourself middle class yet?
No.
Or do you have to marry someone else in civil service to make you and that person together a pair to live middle class? Because when you take two and divide it by two, you still get one.
Right.
I'm okay.
Because
I was bad in math.
No.
Mr. Boston can tell you I ain't no mathematician.
No,
so you still get one. So you're still poor. The two of you all together poor. Okay? So if you're starting off poor as a civil servant, and then you get all the way to the rank of a chief superintendent and some high-ranking petty officer, whatever they call themselves, in the defense force. And you become a person who becomes a cabinet minister or high-ranking politician, which means that you're not a $20,000 a year politician or backbencher.
Yeah. No.
And you're not in the Senate where you're only getting paid a little over the same new recruit pay. Right? So now you're getting this big money.
Yeah.
How in the heck? You find yourself with the DEA and federal government trying to breed down everybody back in the country because you need more money.
Because it's a function of greed.
Greed.
That's all I want to talk about.
Greed.
So you see where I took this conversation?
This
It ain't necessary.
Brad, this gentleman, Brad Orr, on my live, I'm live on Candace Scott, He say they go and broke and come out millionaires. Yeah. So the person,
but we had some MPs like that too. Yeah, I ain't calling
but,
no name.
But they, the person who lamenting about the 28, mm-hmm. how is it that you go in with a 28,000
Get that mic.
Mm-hmm. How is it that you go in with a 28,000 base salary?
Mm-hmm. Yes. And come out
and
a millionaire.
And come out a millionaire. Mm-hmm.
How, do, how does that work?
4 to 5 years.
How does that work?
And how, who's supposed to feel sorry for you?
Right.
You understand? And another point concerning the survey.
Yes.
I didn't take it personal.
Oh, no, no.
You
no.
know why? Mm-hmm. Because they were talking, their sample came from the East.
Yes.
And the West, yes. I ain't come, Michael. Mm-hmm. They wasn't talking to me.
To you, right.
So I didn't get upset mm-hmm. on that survey because I know my place. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
My place is I live salary to salary.
Mm-hmm.
Every month to every month, my mummy, beautiful Elutra woman, mm-hmm. single mother of four. I watch her make dollar out of 50 cents. I much her manage her money to take care of her girls. And so I have that in my DNA. And so I've learned to manage my affairs. So that survey, I shared it. Mm-hmm. I had conversation on it. But they weren't talking to me. Mm-hmm. They were talking to people on the East End and the West End.
Well, I on the West End, right? But I can say this to y'all, right? I can say this to y'all, right? Because, you know, I worked from 2016. You know, I had no job from 2016.
You're blessed.
People don't know this, but I'm a survivor.
Yeah.
You know, I like that little roach in your house which you just can't kill.
Yeah.
You know, you mash him and he still gets him. Say, what you dealing with? You know what I mean? So here's what I want to say to y'all. You're starting off at base pay. Mm-hmm. You spent all your years of your life working hard to get to the top.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Follow me now.
Mm-hmm.
Now you at the top. What more you at? Just look at what I just said. At the
top.
Mm-hmm. You ain't at the bottom. Mm-hmm. You're not in the middle. You are at the top. When people see you walking by, yes, sir.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They got a salute. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. You know, you're an MP when they see you. Hey, Mr. MP. Hey, man, you can do me a little favor. You got that type of awe and that type of respect. You at the top. What the heck more you want in this life? Do you realize that a man is only promised 3 score and 10?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You understand? You don't take nothing to the grave with you. I could go right on top of the hill to our dear beloved Sir Lyndon Penlan. Ain't nothing up there.
Mm-hmm.
I go to Milo Butler over here. Ain't nothing over there. They ain't carry nothing. And so what the heck you got to be so greedy about to want more? You're dropping $2 million for what? For $2 million. And you got to share with somebody else. You're gonna embarrass everybody?
Yeah.
That's what you're willing to do?
Yeah.
What type of demon are you?
Greed. Greed is not a function of income. It's a function of character.
But these MPs...
It's a function of what?
It's a function of character.
Oh,
okay, Donovan, you got to go deeper now. You got to go deep. I got to respect you and let you go a little deeper with
that.
Go ahead.
So greed is not a function of income. It's a function of character. So when you lack character,
yes.
you are susceptible to these things. And I do not like how we always like to juxtapose somebody's income, net worth, social standing in life with the fact that they are susceptible to greed.
Mm.
No, they have a character flaw.
Yes.
We were all raised by the same parents and grandparents of the 60s and the 20s who said to us, don't touch what ain't yours.
I tell my grandchildren that.
My God.
Don't touch what ain't yours. You come home in my mother's house and she packs your lunch. My dad packed our lunch for our entire primary school and high school years. 16 years for 6 children, he packed lunch. We get home. You bring your lunch back. You are interrogated at the door.
Yes.
Why didn't you eat?
Yes.
What did you have for lunch today? Mommy, Johnny was, he had his mommy gave him some money buy chicken and fries. I was looking at his food and I asked him for some. One slap.
Wop. Wop.
One beaten. Because what did she tell you before you leave the house? You'd be satisfied with what we prepared. Did.
Yes.
But someone here says, mommy tell me do without never kill nobody.
Okay.
that's what you're talking about?
Yeah, see, this do without.
This was in our, Peggy used the word DNA.
Yes.
So how is it now that we now have raised a generation, it seems.
Entitlement.
Of people that feel as though, if I don't have, I'm just going to take from Peggy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm just going to take from the mother in Podolio Street. I'm just going to take from the grandmother in North Andrews, because that's what you're doing when you steal from the public's treasury.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're taking from all of us. When you kill our reputation internationally, you're taking food from everybody's plate just for the benefit of you and yours. So, no, these are character flaws that these men and women have.
Yeah.
So the only way we fix this is to go back, as the old people would say, to the old landmark.
Old landmark.
So as far as I'm concerned, Gar, this is not a Bahamian problem. You go look in these households and you find out what broke there. Because it didn't break in Darvin Russell's house.
That's right.
It didn't break in Peggy Candice's house. Did it break in Mr. Roseborough's house? I don't think it broke in your house. So when we all get painted with this corrupt brush, no, I take great offense to that.
That's a problem.
Well, just check what this person challenges us in saying. And you can call in 323-6232 as we wind up shortly. 325-4316, 325-4259. Anywhere from the family violence, 300-5720. Or you can text us at 422-4796. Here's what the text says.
Great conversation.
Mr. Commentator, I dislike you referring to women as demon. I don't recall me ever calling a woman a demon. But check your radio. Check your phone. No reference to women as a demon. I know some women who are demon now. And I know some men who are demons. So don't tell me people don't be no demon. But I'm telling you today, we've never characterized women as a gender, as demon. And it says, please rectify that reference as it's an insult to all women. So I don't know where they got that from. Maybe they
I think you used it in a sense, but it wasn't referring to a whole gender. Yeah. But yeah, we could.
You're talking about sweetheart.
Yeah.
But maybe this person know about that. Because if you're a sweetheart, then you're a demon.
Behave yourself.
I just saying, though.
Behave.
Okay. Next issue. The PM and other delegates must go to other countries to find new industries, markets, businesses, introduce them to our country to stop leading people in to say that they are just traveling, as is ignorant. I'm saying to you, and this person we ain't listening too good, that if you're traveling, you got to bring something back. Now, I'm only asking you, it's 3.5 years later, okay, Mr. Texter or Mrs. Texter, tell me what the heck they bring back, man. That's all I ask.
What
benefits have we gotten in 3.5 years for all this traveling? And you know they're traveling about climate change. You know this. Everybody knows this.
And what improvement?
And so why do you think I am telling something that is not true? I'm just simply saying, if you have the proof to tell us what has resulted from the travels, we would like to know. That's all we're saying. Because we don't have that information. Then it says, as it relates to the survey with the middle class families need... I guess this $10,000 plus to survive in the Bahamas is not true. The average household in the Bahamas is far below that, sir. Mm-hmm. And that is a true statement. Yeah. I can respect that.
Because they're not middle
class. I think that is a very truthful statement, what they just said. And we concur with you. We're not going to fight you for that. That's a wonderful and brilliant statement that you just made. And the study has to be redone. If you listen to Zhivago Line's program, you would have heard it being thoroughly explained. That's what Darvin was talking about. He's also an economist. Then the other point that they made is, my idea is you and your guests are spewing negative sparks and the regular layman would believe it. Okay, so give us something positive that has happened during the course of this week and last week that makes you feel that everything is bright and sunny and great and going well for the 242. Because many of us who are listening to the show, we understand that it's been a dismal point in our history. It's been a very dark day in our history. We've been feeling this impact, but maybe you're insulated, and maybe you yourself, you're not feeling what we are feeling, but we apologize if you feel offended, but it's not our intention to offend anybody. It's our intention to bring to the conversation some help, some context. We want to understand what's going on here. We need some comprehension here. Case in point, the road works when PM Ingram led felt difficult as well, but aren't the Bahamian people benefiting from it now? My point, he had to jumpstart the economy as we were in a financial crisis. Well, yes, PM Ingram did do a good job with the roads, but the roads still need to be repaired. They did them, but my God, we still need more repair.
Maintenance and repair.
That's what Darvin spoke about.
When we look at, just touching on the road works, earlier this year, there was a big media blitz about, I think it is either $92 million or $98 million for the roadwork project in Nassau. And I keep asking where y'all is. Because the roads I drive on, there ain't no roadworks happening there. And so this $92 or $98 million, where and how long y'all taking to get, let's say for instance, Golden Gate Rice Drive every day. I saw they did some patching about 2 weeks ago.
Patching.
And they must be took the least, the worst of the worst who's do patching. Mm-hmm. And they did drive by and throw the doggone oatmeal because it got to be oatmeal because every time it rain, it bubbles up out of the hole and we start all over again. And so when we asking for accountability, it ain't y'all money and y'all sympathizers. It is the Bahamian people money. That $98 million is our money. Yeah. And so when you, every time it rains and oatmeal bubble out of the hole, you have to go ahead and sign a new contract with the same blind, worst of the worst patches who drives by and throw the oatmeal back in. We're just respending, working on the same problem.
What I like about that texter, though, the texter identified that we appeared negative mm-hmm. to them, mm-hmm. which means to me that they have a preference mm-hmm. Or they have a favorite. Mm-hmm. I don't have favorites. Mm-hmm. I don't have preferences. I try my best to be a fair person. And Darvin, I know you do, and Candace, mm-hmm. to be the same way. There is no preference for us. No. There's only a want and desire for that which is better. But because you've seen a preference where you feel that it's everything is okay around you, we can't fight you for that. That is your opinion.
Yeah.
I'm not going to fight you for that.
Right.
But I am going to say to you, continue to do your best to strengthen the country. If you think it's a beautiful country, continue to spread that good word because we also need good words to be spread as well.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But right now, many people are identifying, even USA Today mm-hmm. is identifying that our country is in trouble
mm-hmm. yeah.
right now as we speak. So it's not just me. It's news that has gone abroad, and I just want to bring light to that news so that you as a Bahamian can understand that we need to fix our problems.
Mm-hmm. You know, the reelected President Trump, mm-hmm. There's a commercial or a quote from him saying, there's some bad people who gone into the Bahamas, mm-hmm. so you want to keep those bad people from the Bahamas who gone into the Bahamas
yeah.
from coming in America. Can yeah. you imagine now what he must be saying? Oh, the bad people are the officials. Mm-hmm.
Oh, mercy. This is what this person said when they tested. They said, if there is a perception of corruption about our country, when the PM travels, crooks may flock to him thinking be for sale. Mm. Can he be bought? That's just a texter now. Mm. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. Caller, go ahead. Okay, we lost the caller.
Garth, can I?
Go ahead.
Can I speak on something as go it ahead. Relates to this, the money issues in our country and
please
the budget?
Do. Please do.
It may be a little off topic, but I'll try to give it some context. So in my travels today, I stopped by to heal a friend of mine and was talking to her and her husband. And they had asked me a question that I think is worth illuminating a little bit before we go off air tonight.
Okay.
And they were talking about, Deacon, you explain the budget and where does the VAT money basically go? Because they were flummoxed by how the Prime Minister, how traveled so much, how we can seemingly find money for whatever it is we want or they want to do, but not enough of what the people's wants and needs are. So I said to them, I said, look, think about the Bahamas' budget like a fixed $100 bill, right?
Okay, a fixed $100 bill.
Fixed $100 bill.
Okay.
VAT, customs, property taxes,
mm-hmm.
all government sources of revenue make up the $100.
Listening.
The composition of the $100, mm-hmm. whether it's 80% VAT, 20% property.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm listening.
It's
okay.
The biff.
So it's about the $100.
Okay.
Okay.
We're following you.
Government's job is to allocate that $100 so it returns to us the best possible return.
Okay.
The problem in the Bahamas and so many developing nations and many nations around the world, even our great old neighbors to the United States, is we routinely spend $120. You with me so far? We routinely spend
yes.
$120.
Yes, we do.
Sometimes we overspend to $140.
Yes.
But we never spend less than $120.
Okay.
That 20 or 40 extra that we overspend, how does it get accounted for? We borrow it. Those cumulative $20 bills over 50 years are what's called our national debt.
Okay.
So when you hear the Prime Minister and the Minister of Finance get up on television and talk about GFS deficits and all these wonderful fancy terms they use, all it means is that we are spending more than $100 to run just the day-to-day basic affairs of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas.
Okay.
So when you save money as a government, you cut here, that doesn't mean you have money to spend. If the cutting wasn't greater than $20. You will never, listen to me, Bahamians, have a balanced budget, meaning you get in $100 and you only spend $100 if we keep going on the way we're going on.
And keep consolidating.
Okay. So the way that you fix this is either you take the $100 down to $80 so that that $20 overspends comes in line. So now your total spend is $100 and your tax revenue is $100. That's a balanced budget.
But is it possible?
But listen.
It's, of course it's possible.
Well, it may be possible, but global politics doesn't allow that.
No, no. That ain't going to do
global politics. Because listen.
I don't want you to do that. This is the mind of undisciplined, uncreative, unimaginative people who lack innovation in politics. Do not buy into this notion that you have the only way for us to be okay is for us to chronically overspend the tax dollars that the Bahamian people have entrusted with us to manage.
Yeah, but see, and I know you...
Don't get me started on that. We need a whole show.
But listen to what I'm saying to you, Darvin Russell. And here's where I put... I understand your concept. It's a balanced concept. But let me tell you the error of the concept.
Go ahead.
For me, the error of the concept is in our own behavior.
Go ahead.
As a people.
Go ahead.
You see, when you talk strong the way you just did, you just had a strong conversation.
Yeah, that's strong.
You had a Samson conversation.
Yes.
You had a Goliath conversation. But let me tell you something. Samson and Goliath had to eat bread.
Yes.
And as long as we ain't farming and producing no food in this country, you said small stuff.
Yes.
You got to look like a beggar because you're going to need to get some food. And food is the currency of this world. I don't want you to ever forget that.
I don't.
This country does not produce its own food. We do not take agriculture seriously. And I've said this to you, Peggy Candace, when I first met you on the show. I said, ma'am, we got to grow our own food if we are ever to be free. Now, let me give you a statement. And my friend, Mr. Cleo Raman, he brought this to me one night. And Peggy, you know, I talk to people 11, 12 o'clock in the night, right? Peggy, that's what the man said to me. It's okay when you are a third world country or when you are a poor man or a man of color to say, I have a dream. Oh, that's great. Oh, that sounds good. Oh, I have a dream. Oh, man, that sounds so good. Everybody likes the fact that you have a dream. But when you say, free at last. Free at last. Oh, no. We got to get you. See, we got to make an example of you because you never supposed to be free. When you talk about balancing the budget, you talk about being free.
Correct.
And when you want to be free, you got to have a military that got some missiles around here. You got to have some gunships. You got to have some aircraft carriers. And you got to have some food. Because look at Cuba, my good friend in the south. Anytime you feel you big and you bad, Mr. Castro, we shut you down. Miss Haiti, anytime you feel you a free country, a republic, oh, you could fight the French and you could beat Napoleon and everybody else and bribe to the world, but guess who got your testicles? Guess who got your ovaries? We got that. And that's why you got the G8 and the G13 and the G this and the G that. And everybody's G over you. Why? Because you are not truly independent because you can't feed yourself. You can't go where you want to go. You can't do what you want to do. My friend, I love you. It's very intelligent, but they don't want no intelligent Bahamas, eh?
No. But, you know, strangely enough, some farmers...
I can give you your show.
I want the farmer show, the feed yourself show. Cause some
but
farmers,
I tried that, but it's only one farm.
Some farmers reach out to me.
Yes.
On Thursday night, because they say, you talking about everybody, but you ain't talking about the farmers. I said, you need to talk about yourself.
Okay.
You need to come out there. And one gentleman, he called, he caused me to speak adult to him. Well, you see, I just get a job with the government. I said, but you want me putting my job at risk talking about your issue? Until we have courage, until we have courage to take a stand on our issue and stop reaching out to people who you deem to be influencer. Mm-hmm. Well, man, tell me, I went to the police and the police ain't do nothing, so I come to you. I say, you come to me? He said, yeah, you always talking. And I tell them off in adult language, you know. Stand up for yourself. I will share what you post. And many of them don't want to take the risk.
Right.
And that is the strength of bad governance, silence, and fear.
Listen, man.
Courage is not the absence of fear. It's doing it scared.
It's the what?
Courage is not the absence of fear. It's doing it scared.
What do I mean doing it scared? I learn it now. I love this.
It means it doesn't matter that you are afraid of the consequences. You have to do it regardless.
Yes.
That's what courage
is. And especially if it's your personal fight. Yes. Why you think I should fight your personal battle?
Mm. Yeah.
Take a risk for you. I tell him, I say, you know, sir, I work. And I live off what I work. I ain't getting no other income. Mm-hmm. But you now want me to take a risk for you. Mm-hmm.
Listen, man, this has been a great show.
Love it. love it, God. Love it.
Listen, there's a lot of energy up here at Guardian Radio 96.9 FM here in the Bahamas. Listen, man, we try to bring you an informative show, a great show. Not here to offend anyone. This is all about unity. This is all about love. This is all about strengthening the nation. This is all about making the nation better.
Yeah.
You know, when Darwin spoke about go to the restroom and you could see what a nation looks like, he and I had a conversation one evening, and I said, you know, Darwin, there's no restroom facility in South Beach. And he said, what? I said, no, man, we need a restroom in South Beach, on the beach. A tourist always asking to use the restroom. They got me urinating behind the grape tree. They got the women running to the restaurant to use the bathroom. And I said, you know, Darwin, we got to fix this. And I said, you know what? I'm going to put a restroom in South Beach. You watch and see. So I ain't talking none more of his business. But Darwin likes South Beach, and he said, listen, I can deal with South Beach. So I can leave that for him to talk at another time, another show. But he want to talk about the economics. He want to talk about balancing the budget. And listen, Peggy Candace is here. This pretty woman in the house. Don't tell me I bias the man. I don't like women. And don't try none of that. This woman has been on the defense force. This is a behemoth GI.
Yes.
You know what I mean? This is a strong woman. So listen, man, I want to see you all next week here on Remark. If you want to sponsor the show, just reach out to the National Guard in here in Oaksville. They'll be more than happy to have a conversation with you. April is there waiting to have a conversation with you. I'm going to reach out to some of you with letters of interest for sponsorship. And we want to make this program longer if we could.
Yeah.
Someone mentioned last week they want us to have a 3-hour show because they fell in love with Darwin and Ruben, and now you come and join us. We must have got to have an all-day show.
Oh,
and I think we got the hottest show on the Sunday, a hottest show on the weekend. And listen, I'm going to continue to push this narrative. It's been a beautiful day, Bahamas.
Yeah.
We got to chop this up some more. And, you know, Darwin got me hot. My man, you got me hot. You want to give some closing words, some parting words, Darwin, and then Peggy, quickly? You got 2 minutes?
Man, look, all I'm going to say is be blessed, Bahamas. There are greater days ahead of us than there are behind us.
Yes.
That's all I'll say.
Oh, that's perfect.
Well, go ahead, Miss Peggy
Candace.
That's
beautiful. I am a Bahamian woman, a proud Bahamian woman, and I love my country. I ain't going nowhere. And so my fight is for this country. My fight is, I believe that we are better than what we are performing at this time. And like Darwin say, our best years are ahead of us. But you got to join the fight. You got to be more than a sharer. You got to contribute to this conversation.
Amen, amen, amen. Well, you know, your favorite commentator for the day, he wrote me back, he said, Mr. Commentator, there is no favorite or preference being discussed here. Pure objectivity, as I don't subscribe to either parties, as you see one and it's the reflection of the other. To be precise, we are in need of new innovative leadership. He didn't say management.
Mm-hmm.
He said innovative leadership. And so we're going to speak to you next time. And hey, this is Remark. I'm Garth Rosebauer saying so long. Have a great one, Bahamas. Have a great one, world. It's just that type of a day for us. Let's go fishing. Hey, by the way, I'm on my way to Paradise Island, to Atlantis, to Joker's Wild. I'm going to a comedy show tonight. I need to laugh a little bit. So for you babes who want to laugh a little bit, my friend Action, he's the host. Join me over there, and let's have a great time tonight in the Bahamas. Let's laugh a little bit, and then let's fix this country first thing tomorrow morning.
They got so much things to say right now. They got so much things to say. Hey, but I'll never forget no way. They crucified Jesus Christ. I'll never forget no way. This old Marcus Garvey for Rice. I'll never forget no way. They turned their backs on Paul Bogey. Hey, so don't you forget who you are and where you stand in the struggle. They got so much things to say. I not come to fight flesh and blood, but spiritual wickedness in high and low places. So while they fight you down, stand firm and give Jah thanks and praises. Cause I and I do expect to be justified by the laws of men. By the laws of men. Oh, you may find me guilty, but prove my innocence. Oh, when the rain falls, all now, people fall and one man's house stop. Remember that. When the rain falls, it won't fall on one man's house. Stop it singing. So many things to say right now. So many things to say. They got so much things to say right now. Yeah, they got so much things to say. Hey, but I and I not come to fight flesh and blood. Spiritual wickedness in high and low places. So why they fight you down, stand firm and give your thanks and praises. I and I don't expect to be justified by the laws of men. By the laws of men, a true God to prove my innocence. I don't do wicked things, they found me guilty. They got
so
they love her in all the time. So much things to say. Rumor about they got the rumor without humor. They don't know what they're doing, yeah.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com.